The views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of this station, JVC Broadcasting Management, or its sponsors.
The Nonprofit Voice is a premier radio program featuring nonprofits on Long Island every Saturday morning. For the past 6 years, we have learned about, been inspired by, and celebrated hundreds of nonprofits in our community. The Nonprofit Voice is produced by Marketing Works, the only full-service marketing and public relations firm that works almost exclusively with nonprofit agencies. We pride ourselves on our reputation in creating strategic marketing and public relations campaigns, successful virtual, hybrid, and live events, as well as powerful social media and digital campaigns. As the leaders in nonprofit marketing, no other agency understands the industry as we do, and we are committed to the success of each and every one of our clients. Marketing Works hopes you enjoy this week's featured nonprofit. And our featured nonprofit today is Star Foundation. SaveTheAnimalsRescue.org. I'm Ron Gold from Marketing Works. The name of the show is The Nonprofit Voice. And I'm here with Laura Piserno.
Laurie Piserno.
I'm sorry.
Anything you want, it doesn't matter.
No, that's not true. Laurie Piserno and Lisa Yeager. Laurie is the owner and founder, and Lisa is Rescue and Discovery, right?
Recovery.
Okay. Let's start again. No, I'm kidding. So 25 years ago, this is, you should have a fundraiser 25 years, right? Laurie, you...
Yeah, if it weren't for COVID, we could do that.
I know. A lot of things have changed because of COVID. My company does a lot of fundraisers, and we've been doing them live because most of my nonprofits have two or three of them a year. So last year, we learned how to do virtual, and everybody had to change. I had one client, Long Island Cares, that was about to have their 40th anniversary the next day, and they called it. So now we're doing virtual, but it's starting to change a little bit. You know, there's a couple of the golf outings have always been the same. A little bit different because you didn't have the dinners, but other than that, they were doing it live. And now it's full live. And there's a few other things that are going on. I went out this week, two fundraisers outside. I couldn't have been happier. Nice. I was networking again. So anyway, it's not about me. It's about you. This is your half hour. So tell me how you got started in this, Lori.
Well, my husband and I have always rescued. I worked in the animal care field. And when I started to kind of back out of the full-time job, was looking for something else to do, and rescue was just there. So we got heavily involved in rescue and realized that we would never be able to afford to continue to do it unless we became a nonprofit and started begging. Mm-hmm. So we became official.
And that was about 25 years ago? And how long is
it? Actually, it might be more like 26 or 27 at this point if you want to go really official.
We don't have to be official.
We don't have to be official.
No. What has been your, what do you rescue the most? Dogs, cats, deer?
No dogs and cats. Dogs and cats are kind of only in extreme cases. There's a lot of dog and cat rescue groups that do a wonderful job. Mm-hmm. It's the animals that nobody's going to take care of. The wildlife, the squirrels and rabbits and deer and things that people find in their yard that no vet wants to do because it doesn't get them any money, and there's a lot of red tape and paperwork involved with doing things like that. You can't just take them home and raise something. You have to have a license. So we went that route. We went for the wildlife and exotic stuff that doesn't go into the dog pound.
So what happens to it? You rescue them, or you have people like Lisa Yeager go out and rescue for you and bring them in, and do they stay with you? You
they
nurse them back
until they're better. We fix whatever the problem is whenever possible. The goal is to get them healthy and put them back out. Everybody's supposed to go back out. If they can't be fixed, if they're in too bad a shape and they're suffering, unfortunately, we can't consider ourselves no-kill because sometimes we have to let somebody go. But if it's an animal that can be used in an educational program, we will always try to place it or use it in a program ourselves, get permission to keep them long-term, depending on the animal's personality and if it can have a good quality of life doing that.
Well, how'd you get involved with Lisa, though?
Lisa is a volunteer. That's, we get a lot of really wonderful people come along and say, what can I do to help? Some of them get the hook in them like Lisa did, and that's it. She's done. She's out there every day running all over Long Island, rescuing pretty much anything we throw at her. She's great. She'll go into the swamps. She'll climb over fences. She'll crawl through poison ivy. She's just great. You can't ask for a better rescuer.
But what if I wanted to buy a house?
Out of everybody.
If I wanted to buy a house, can I get it from Lisa?
Yes, absolutely. Lisa will also find you a house.
There you go. Now, your husband is retired and he works full-time with you, right?
My husband? No. He is working full-time in order to allow me to do this.
Oh, there you go.
And then on his weekends and evenings...
Right, that's what I said. We never see John during the day. He appears as soon as the sun goes down, and he does a lot of the grunt work with Lori.
Hey, listen, I do the grunt work.
He's learned how to be a plumber, an electrician. He can fix sewer pipes, wash machines. He found you can learn almost anything on YouTube, and he's usually our repair person, and something is always broken here, always.
Well, you know, I was telling Lisa that my wife has a breeding business. She breeds labradoodles, and she's been doing it for years, and my job has changed because every morning I have to feed everybody.
Well, how did that become your job?
How come? Because she likes to sleep. No.
Oh, okay.
No, there were too many of them. Last year was an incredible amount of dogs that were adopted from us. We had a waiting list at one time that was close to 100. It was a whole different year.
Yeah.
People wanted to have pets, and there it is.
Stuck at home, so get a pet. Yeah.
So you have a pet line where people can get to you if they need you? You know, if they see something that's...
Well, it's a hotline.
A hotline,
We used to cover lost and found pets also, but we're overwhelmed. The phone rings here 150 times a day easily. Yeah. It's just, it's insane. You can't hang it up without it ringing again, but you're also trying to affect some rescues, get people out to pick things up. Telling people how to get here, calling vets to take things in that are in really bad shape. It's rough. Advising people on when they shouldn't rescue something. The leave it alone message is very hard to get through to some people.
Yes, that's true.
Well, how are you funded?
Private. We beg. We've got a lot of big supporters that send their $25 in, you know. And we have events. We every year we did a motorcycle run, a barbecue, a holiday party, and a Rocky Horror Show.
Wow, there you go.
We had to cancel everything. Mm-hmm. And this year we were afraid to go ahead and start planning stuff, but I think we're going to kick back in for the Rocky Horror Show in the fall.
Right. And we also have, if you don't mind me...
I want you to. Go.
Jumping in here. So there's a company on Long Island called Signature Premier Properties. They've been around for a little while, but they're just building and becoming such a big part of Long Island right now. And the owners of the company, Peter and Kathy, actually contacted me, knowing that I work for another company, and asked if they could do a fundraiser for my rescue organization and the Star Foundation. So just wanted to let you know that's going to be, like, we're hoping by the end of July we're trying to find a venue for it, and that's probably going to be one of our biggest fundraisers in a long time, and God knows we need the money. We're really working on bare bones.
Well, if they're going to do a fundraiser for you, they shouldn't try to do it in a month. It's not enough time. They can do better if they space it out a little bit. You know, I could talk out of experience. Mm-hmm. Most of these fundraisers, it's worth waiting an extra month or so.
Right.
Because you'll get more money that way.
Right.
Because by the time they get everything together, between the invitations that they send out, the venue, and organizing everything, it takes time.
Right.
And, you know, you look at it now, if you were doing a fundraiser in July versus doing one in August or September, it seems like everything's opening up a little bit more. the more time that we give it.
Right.
You know, and you might be better that way, that more people will want to get out. Mm-hmm. You know, as I said before, I was seeing people get out right now and they couldn't be happier. Mm-hmm. We had a meeting that used to be every other week on Zoom, and we met in person for dinner, and the leads were just like, we'd talk, hey, I could help you with this. I get it. It was like they let them out,
right.
You know, and that's what, why I'm saying you might want to wait a little right. bit, but I'll talk to them if you want.
Right. I would love to put you in touch with them.
So what areas of Suffolk County do you serve?
All, pretty much. You know, we try to designate to other organizations if they're more convenient, but we've been, just today we took in three animals from far into Nassau County because there is just no agency in there that's helping them. So the people are willing to go. They want to help the animals. They're willing to get in that car and drive an hour and a half, then we're not going to refuse to take the animal.
Well, let me ask you about deer because, you know, what I heard was this, you rescue a lot of deer, right? And there's just so many around right now. Do you see this population?
And the point is
that you help them if you see them, right? And then you send
absolutely.
Them back out?
Everything deserves to be helped.
Right.
Because there's a lot of something. There's a lot of people, you know. We help. We're not a species organization. If an animal comes to us in distress, we're going to try to help it. We're not going to say, well, there's too many of this. We're not going to do this.
Right. And we do
we know we're fighting against the sea of too many deer eating my plants and running in the road, but they're just trying to survive. And, you know, still desire, especially the babies, they deserve a chance.
One of our biggest problems right now with the baby fawns is they may be born in somebody's yard and they don't realize that the mother just gave birth there and left them there, and they go to eat and then they come back and nurse them, and they leave them sometimes 12 to 20 hours at a time, and that baby from the minute it's born knows to stay there. And people see something unusual and they think it's sick and they pick it up and they bring it in their house and
oh boy.
Then they call us, and the problem is they should never have touched it in the first place. We always, you know, we let us come by and take a look. If the ears aren't curled, if he doesn't have ticks on him, if his eyes are clean, we leave him. We'll come back 12 hours later. And I can almost guarantee you 9 out of 10 calls that I've been on, those babies are gone when I come back the next day.
So what happens if they bring him in and they hold him, the mother won't take care of them anymore?
No, you can actually descent them. You can actually take grass and rub grass on them to take the human scent off of them and put them right back where they came from. Very seldom do people bring them to us. They call us and ask us to come get them. And when we get there, we realize there's nothing wrong with them. We make them put them back.
People don't know.
They don't know.
And how are you going to teach them?
That they don't know. And, well, we try to educate them. You know, I do have a Facebook page that I post my rescues on, and a lot of people find it very interesting because, oh, I didn't know that. Like, I get calls all the time. I found a baby bird. You know, it's in my backyard. It can't fly. Does it have tail feathers? What do you mean? Well, you know, it's got wings, and then it has tail feathers coming out the back. Does it have tail feathers? Oh, yes. It's learning how to fly. Now, if you step outside your backyard, you watch, you'll hear birds up in the trees. You'll hear the mother and father calling to it. They'll come down. They'll take care of it on the ground. Sometimes somebody will call us and say, I have a cat in the backyard trying to go after a baby bird with tail feathers. That's when we'll usually ask them to either try and get it back up in a tree or a bush or a nest. And if the cat keeps going after it, sometimes we do have to take it.
Well, so you have wildlife, you know. You're not talking about pets, so people can't come to your location, look and see what you have.
I mean,
but you could say wildlife, well, who's going to want to, you know, adopt them? But we see them with alligators and snakes, and people are crazy with some of these things.
They're not legal. They're not allowed to have them. And that's why
a few animals that have come to us because they should not have been here.
Right.
We have a bobcat, a wolf.
Oh, God.
We've had alligators come through here and all kinds of... We had a timber rattlesnake here. People get stupid things here. And we're one of the few places that can hold them temporarily until we can find them a better situation. They can't be adopted as pets. They have to be placed in places that have the facilities and have the permits to have them.
Well, Lisa would rather rescue a wildlife animal than sell a $1 million house.
Absolutely. Too bad there's no money in it.
It's okay.
I'd be rich.
Yeah, I know. I can get. So before you were in the rescue business, how did you get involved as far? Were you always an animal lover like this? Lori.
Who are you asking?
Lori.
Yeah, I pretty much was one of those little kids who would pick up the woolly pack caterpillar and try to keep it as a pet. I was just a little crazy. My family did not foster my interest. They were a little freaked out by it, but, you know, I couldn't even have my first dog till I was like 14. But it was just meant to be, because I've always had more compassion for animals than people. I care about people, but they can take care of themselves. If they don't, they're stupid. The animals don't have an option. And I've done a lot of, I've worked with vets. I've been a dog groomer for many years. I had my own business. I had a boarding business. I've just always been involved with animals. I just decided when I veered off into the wildlife thing and found out that something I had been doing all along required a permit, which I didn't know at first, got the permits and went the legal route, and it just became a thing. Everybody found out about me, and the vets, the police, the DEC, everybody refers people to us. So we're pretty well known. We're a mainstay in the community at this point. So we need to keep this going. If we weren't here, there would be a lot of animals with no place to go.
Can you give me a number? How many animals you've saved?
Oh,
each
God.
Year?
A week?
Oh, overall?
A week, okay.
I mean, we have close to 300 here right now.
Do you really?
Yeah.
How do you keep them from, you know, do you separate them out?
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
Yeah. Animals, like animals, stay together. You don't put predators and prey near each other. You have to keep them in separate rooms. And some of them need outside areas and water, and it's very involved. There's a lot of building involved that we don't have the money to do, to build more pens so that we can accommodate them better. We work with network with other rehabilitators and send them to other people who are better equipped to do certain species. You know, we all work together pretty well.
Well, there's some rescue organizations that don't exactly have the best reputation from what we've heard. So you probably stay away from them. We're not going to talk about them. But you're in Middle Island, but right?
You went down that path.
I know. And then I wanted to stop myself.
Say he should stop right there.
Yeah. And you're in Middle Island, and you're on how many acres of property?
We have 3 acres that go with the building that we're in, but we also are using some of my personal property, so probably close to those 4.5 acres. Not enough. We could use about 20 more, but we make do.
Well, you have to have licenses and permits from New York State. What kind of licenses do you have?
We have to have wildlife rehab permits, class 2, which allows us to train and have other people work under us. We have fish and wildlife permits that allow us to do migratory birds. We have USDA permits that allow us to have mammals for exhibit purposes, which means using them for programs. I don't know. Most of the animals that are here all have an individual permit. If they stay long-term, they have to have an individual. They now made deer a separate permit from everything else. Raccoons is a separate permit from everything else.
Well, we don't do raccoons, though.
No. Some of us have the license, but the building isn't equipped for it, and we don't have enough volunteers that are licensed to do them. So we have to stay within the rules, and we can only accommodate what we have a right setup for that we can do right by. Don't bring animals. Like, we don't do swans because we have no room and no pens. So to have a swan and put it in the bathtub would be cool. It's not the way it's supposed to be done.
How many volunteers do you have?
Reliable, regular volunteers, probably about 20.
Wow. That's a lot of
volunteers. No, those are people who come in once or twice a week and actually spend a couple of hours cleaning, doing laundry, doing dishes, washing floors. We have people that come in and help us maintain the yard because that's a disaster. I actually had a lady ask me the other day, what's with your grass?
So if somebody wanted to be a volunteer, what do they have to do?
Go on our website, savetheanimalsrescue.org, and fill out a volunteer application. Let us know what you'd like to do. We'll get you in here.
Do you have a phone number where somebody could reach you?
Mm-hmm. 631 736 631-736-8207.
631-736-8207. You have to say it twice. Yep. Otherwise, people don't remember it.
Phones are very hard to get through on sometimes, but keep trying.
But let me ask you one more quick question. As far as the deer is concerned, it must be overwhelming. You must be getting so many different deer.
Can I answer that?
I think we got 30.
Yeah.
Yeah, so most of the deer calls that we go on don't end up in a positive.
Yeah, I didn't think
and
so.
And unfortunately, you know, the only predator on Long Island for the deer is human beings. So, you know, if a deer gets hit by a car and breaks a leg and can't get up, you know, they have to be euthanized. But every once in a while, we get a female pregnant deer that we end up with two babies, healthy and born. So,
well, Lisa Yeager and Lori Becerro, right? Thank you for being on the show today. From the Star Foundation, this is Ron Gold from Marketing Works. The show is Nonprofit Voice. The Nonprofit Voice is a premier radio program featuring nonprofits on Long Island every Saturday morning. For the past 6 years, we have learned about, been inspired by, and celebrated hundreds of nonprofits in our community. The Nonprofit Voice is produced by Marketing Works, the only full-service marketing and public relations firm that works almost exclusively with nonprofit agencies. We pride ourselves on our reputation in creating strategic marketing and public relations campaigns, successful virtual, hybrid, and live events, as well as powerful social media and digital campaigns. As the leaders in nonprofit marketing, no other agency understands the industry as we do, and we are committed to the success of each and every one of our clients. Marketing Works hopes you enjoy this week's featured nonprofit. And our featured nonprofit today is Big Brothers and Big Sisters, and everybody knows them. I'm Ron Gold from Marketing Works. The name of the show is A Nonprofit Voice. Every Saturday, we put a different nonprofit on. And if you are interested, just email me at ron@marketingworkspr.com. I'm so happy to have Fabiola here because I love the name, obviously. Hey, everybody, it's a great name, Fabiola Turner. And she is the Director of Programs at Big Brothers and Big Sisters. We have Meredith Michaels, the Director of Development, and Barry Bartels?
Baratola,
okay. And he is retired, but he's a big brother. And that's more important than anyone here today because you do it and you've been doing it since 1989, you said?
1989.
Wow. And what do you get out of it, Barry? Why have you stayed with it?
I have the energy to do it, and it's a satisfaction because of the young kids that I've been with, and just give a lot. It's a cliche, but you get so much more out of it than you give, and it's so true. It's so true.
Yeah, it is. I could believe it. I have someone that I have been with for 2.5 years every Saturday or Sunday. One day on the weekend, I take him to play golf, and even when it's cold outside, I'll take him to a driving range, and he has become such an avid golfer. He loves the sport, and I'm so happy because I started out trying to get him to play football, trying to get him to play soccer, and we finally hit on something that he liked, so I'm staying with it. So tell me about you, Fabiola. What do you do?
Well, I oversee the programs for Big Brothers Big Sisters of Long Island. I am responsible for recruiting, enrolling the volunteers and the youth, as well as providing necessary support for the children and their families.
How'd you get involved?
Actually, I am a former big myself. I was a big in college. I worked with children all my life, and I recently started working with the agency about 2.5 years ago.
And do you work for the lady across from you who is the director of development, or does she work for you? Meredith Michaels.
We are peers.
Yes.
Meredith, you've had a tough year, and development has not been easy for any of you. And I can relate to it because I do a lot of development and a lot of events that have become virtual. And now, hopefully, they'll be going back to being live again, and people love it. I went to an event this week. And it was the first time, it seemed like this is the first time these people have been out.
Exactly.
You know, they couldn't stop talking and they couldn't stop smiling. It was great. We have a network group and we got together every other week for a virtual call. Mm-hmm. And we were doing it for the last 14 months. And this is the first time we got out. And we got more out of that meeting than we usually do.
That's great.
That is great.
And what about you?
Yeah, so I'm the director of development. I oversee all of our special events and fundraising initiatives. And like you mentioned, it has certainly been a challenging year, but we have been able to adapt and pivot during those difficult times to still bring in the valuable funds that we need to make sure that our program is thriving and running the way it should be. And we're also excited. We just had our first in-person event on Monday, our golf outing.
Yeah.
And it was the largest, most successful outing we've ever had in the history of our golf outings. And that was a combination to having a great honoree, amazing supporters that come every year, some new sponsors. And I think just the fact that people were, you know, dying to get out and do something. And we were so lucky the sun was out. And I think people were just so happy to be in person. It was all outdoors. And, you know, we offered a lot of different safe spacing options. But we're definitely looking forward to the year ahead where we have more events starting to get planned and being back in person for those events.
Where was your golf outing?
We had it at the Muttontown Club in East Norwich. So it's a beautiful course. Yep. And we have it there every year. We sold out. And it was just a tremendous day in support of the mentorship program that we have.
And who was your honoree?
We had Brian Sullivan with Sullivan & Sullivan.
Okay.
And he was wonderful and went above and beyond to ensure that the event was a success and got all his friends and colleagues to come out. And we really can't thank them enough for making it the success it was.
Well, I'll tell you from the experience of working with a lot of these nonprofits for the golf outing so far, not a problem to get golfers.
No.
At all.
No.
But the sponsors was a little tougher this year than it has been.
Yeah.
Because of, I guess, the way COVID has hit them. That,
sure.
You know.
Businesses had different impact that certainly affected their budgets and the way they can give their money out to charities. But we were very fortunate that a lot of our reoccurring sponsors came back, and we had some new ones that supported and others that increased their giving because we haven't had events. So they said, you know what, we're going to go all in on this event. So we were very lucky for that.
So let me talk to you, Fabiola. We were talking about Littles and
yes.
Bigs, and Littles was a big, was a name that I'm not used to.
Yes.
I know Big Brothers and Big Sisters. I don't know Little Brothers and Little Sisters. So what's that?
So our Littles are basically the children that are in our program. Every kid that comes to our door that we've enrolled are called Little Sisters or Little Brothers.
And how is it now? You said that you had 500 people that you usually put together.
Yes.
And it's really down because of COVID. How did COVID affect you?
Unfortunately, because of the last year's mandate and obviously social distancing, as an organization, we're one-to-one mentoring that really promotes social engagement, one-to-one time together, and that was not possible. And really, it comes down to our pool of volunteers. If we can support a million youth, if we don't have enough volunteers that are coming to us and express an interest in wanting to become a big, we can't match them with a child, which means we cannot service a youth in our community.
So let's talk about the youth in your community. I mean, yes. They've had a tough time, and it's, you know, they couldn't see their big brothers and big sisters, and were probably left in these home situations, some of them which are abusive in some ways. I work with a mental health agency in Freeport, so one of my clients, and I know what it's been for them. They're overwhelmed now with people with mental health problems, and we read about it in the newspapers. You hear about it on the radio and TV. It is true. You know, it's not like some of these kids, they had to go to the bathroom to talk on the phone with their social workers because they couldn't just talk in front of their parents.
Yes.
Putting people together that really are having problems in those kind of relationships and keeping them in the house like that is mind-boggling to me.
Well, one advantage that the kids that were in our program had is they still had the mentor, although they were not able to meet in person.
Right.
We really encouraged virtual engagement. So yeah. Our Lottos actually were very lucky that they still had their bigs that were calling them on a regular basis and FaceTiming them. We provided virtual activities for them to really stay engaged, ideas on what they can do out on the internet. They can go to, be surprised, to the museum together, play games together. So we had the bigs to be like a mitigating factors for the littles that really helped them endure the challenges that other children who did not have a big, unfortunately, were experiencing.
Barry, tell me about what you've done in that COVID period.
Well, Adam and I would see each other mostly at his grandmother's house, because that's where he stayed. And what we would do is take a chair. I would sit on the walkway and he would sit up on the porch and we would talk that way. So we would see each other physically, and yet we were still distanced. And he likes to talk, so it worked out very well for both of us that way. The activity part of it, we would go down to Eisenhower Park, we would wear masks, we'd walk around the lake down there. We'd find activities to do outside that didn't require us being in contact, one-to-one like that, yet still safe distancing, which worked out very well for both of us.
So he confides in you, your big brother, and, is he afraid of confidentiality or anything? He's comfortable enough with you that, you're not going to go back and tell his mother everything he says? Because that's a point that's...
I know my relationship with any of my littles was always trust and takes time.
Oh, yeah.
You're an adult coming into a kid's life. And over a period of time, that trust is seen. And I always talk about that, and it's respect, because he wants respect and I want respect. So it works. It's a two-way street. And as far as him trusting me, I found the first 6 months, usually it's just kind of fluff kind of things, just developing a relationship that they can talk to. But then after that, I think he'll say things to me, and I will tell him the guidelines. Listen, if you tell me something that's very serious, I'm going to have to explore this further, but I will be with you as we explore it. I'm not just going to throw it out there. And the agency is very good using the caseworkers, because if you're having this situation with a little brother or a little sister, the case may be, they're very available to help you out with that. And I always find that very refreshing and very, it helps quite a bit, because if something comes up, you have something to fall back on.
Well, this child that's with me asked me about bullying, and I got scared because I was thinking, he's not just going to ask me and say, what do you think of bullying without somehow it affecting him in some way. And I said that to him. And he said, oh, no. But I don't believe him, but I'm not going to run down to the school and take care of him. Mm-hmm. But, I'll wait until he brings it up again and see what happens. Now, you have a wait list.
Yes.
Tell me about that.
Unfortunately, because of COVID, we tend to have challenge getting volunteers to enroll in our program to really service the youth that are on our waiting list. We are definitely in demand and high need for big brothers to service the little brothers that we have that are waiting. Sometimes they wait an average a year, sometime more, for a big brother to meet with them and for us to really get them to participate in our program.
And how can they get in touch with you?
They can definitely go to our website, which is www.bbbb3bsli.org, or they can call 516-731-7880, extension 212. There is an enrollment specialist available to tell them more about the program and schedule them for an interview.
Barry, let me ask you another question.
Sure.
You said you've had five that have aged out, right?
Right.
Nobody quit on you, right?
No. I did have a match that was only 3 weeks, and the little really didn't want a big brother.
Oh.
And I went to the caseworker, and the caseworker handled it. He lived with his mom and his uncle, and he said, I really didn't want a big brother. His mom thought that was the case. It was very amicable. I said, no problem with that. And another little brother he went to Staten Island with his father, because his mom couldn't handle him. But those are the only two. But the other three, one moved to Florida, and then I have the other two that are still in my life, like I said.
Did you find any of them to be unruly that you couldn't handle?
Never. That is one thing I can only say. They do such a great job of matching. Now, some have one are more challenging than others, but you have to understand that you have to be patient, and they're going to test you. They're going to test you.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt.
But it's a question of understanding that what my role is with them. I'm not the disciplinarian. I'm not their father. I'm their friend. I'm their big brother. And these are things that develop over time. And I've never had a kid acting out on me or anything like that.
We really take our time to screen the youth that we are enrolling our program, and we kind of match them based on level of expertise, patience, so we get to know our bigs and really say, okay, can you really handle a child who have behavior challenges? We have some bigs that can. So really careful about how we match a big brother, a big sister to a little brother, a little sister.
So the five that you've had, Barry, all must have been different types of personalities, like with different interests, and you adjust yourself to whatever is good for them.
My latest match is completely different than the other ones. I'm into sports and along that line, and
he wasn't.
But I adapted to him, and he adapted to me. And so I taught him how to throw a frisbee because he never knew how to do that. You know, it was, and we had a lot of fun because there's no guidelines for a frisbee, just doing that, and he was just enjoying it.
But you wouldn't play computer games with him.
Excuse me?
Would you play computer games with him?
No, I don't play. He does that on his own.
They all do it on their own.
This is odd.
All they do.
We spend one-to-one time with them.
Each other new things and new interests.
Right. He does enough of that on his own. He doesn't need me with that. And I'd like to spend more time with one-to-one. We might watch a movie together, which he has seen, and he tells you the dialect of every word in that movie. But it's really funny to watch him because he gets all excited, and he tells you everything going on. I said, who needs the movie? I can just listen to you all the time.
But one great thing that I think sets us apart is we provide training to our big. So if Barry wanted to learn about computers so he can engage better with his little, he can just reach out to his massive four specialists, and they would guide him and provide him the support. We provide activities of engagement. We have year-round events for the bigs and littles to kind of come to our offices and really interact together.
Good. Yeah, that's great. What kind of events do you have?
We had a Memorial Day celebration just a few weeks ago. And Barry, do you want to share? Everyone had a great time. We played games.
Great.
It was an outdoor barbecue.
Yeah, and a barbecue. They brought in hot dogs, hamburgers, french fries, and they had all these games. And it was a lot of fun. The kids had a great time. And you get to meet other matches too. So there was some socialization like that, which was nice.
I just
get the feeling that I wouldn't want to play computer games because that's all they do.
No, that's right.
Yeah, you want to get them into something else.
You know, a lot of them like to come out because, as Fabiola said, we do offer a lot of events. They have all different types of themes to them. And pre-COVID, and hopefully we'll get back to that, we got tickets to sports events, to Broadway, to shows, to local events, to concerts, and, you know, water parks and theme parks. So we really do try to provide a lot of these resources because there's a misconception that to be a big brother or big sister costs a lot of money. And that's really not the case. We give a lot of those resources so that it's not a financial strain on the mentor. So if there is someone out there interested in becoming one, you have so much support every step of the way and a lot of these great events so that it's not a strain on you and things all throughout the year and programs around the holidays and back to school supplies and scholarships to apply for. I mean, I know Barry's little was the recipient of our scholarship and his other littles have received all of our holiday gifting programs and back to school shopping events. So there's things like that that are constantly being offered, which is also makes us very unique in that regard.
What's your next event that you have?
So we have a fishing event, which is very unique. It's an offshore fishing event out in the Hamptons, and it's in August. So it's a week-long fishing for anyone who is interested in that kind of event. We have a great boat raffle associated with that. And then in the fall, we do a fashion show where our bigs and littles are actually the models. But you can visit www.bbbsli.org. That's three Bs. You can learn all about our website, our events, and certainly anything you'd like to know about enrolling your child or becoming a mentor, our website has all of that there.
So with the boys, it's mostly sports. What about with the girls?
It's, you know, our littles, they just want an adult that would just listen to them. Sometimes they don't have to do an activities. It's just walking around the park and just talking, being able, and you, as we see, you're experiencing that. You don't have to do an activity with them. Yeah. It's just they just want someone. They want to feel safe. They want to be listened to, and they want to be respected with what Barry described.
And sometimes it's teaching them how to drive, taking them to college visits, helping them prepare for a test. You know, those life things that happen all the time for the for these children. Like, it's not just about going to sports events and doing art programs. It's just everyday life and being a part of those moments and giving them that consistency that maybe they're not getting without the program. So it kind of runs the gamut what they're doing with their littles. And it's all things that they're probably looking for support in.
So, Fabiola, what do you want to do next?
I want to recruit as many bigs as possible to satisfy the wait list. We have so many kids. And as you mentioned, you know, our littles were lucky that they had a big through the pandemic, but many kids on Long Island did not have the opportunity. Mm-hmm. So my really focus is trying to get as many big sisters and big brothers that are willing to come and allow us to train them to help support the youth that are in need. You know, as you described, suicide rates are increasing. Our kids are anxiety. They're feeling isolated. They're struggling academically. And we really need as many volunteers as possible to help provide support to those youth.
Well, what are you finding with most of these kids that what are they reaching out to you or the parents or the mothers or the fathers if they're by themselves?
It's usually, you know, most of our kids there are coming from single parent household or divorced households. Some of them are being bullied. They're socially isolated from their peers. They're struggling academically. Some are at risk of being involved in juvenile delinquent system. So, you know, our kids that come, we service all of Long Island, Nassau, and Suffolk County, all demographics. So they're so unique, you know, but their primary need is they're looking for support. They're looking for guidance.
And you're finding the big brothers in the area that the kids are in.
Yes, usually in the areas that the kids reside
in. So they don't have to travel that much.
Yeah, like I said before, long-distance relationships do not work, so we don't encourage it. So we want to make sure, especially with Long Island and the traffic that's on Long Island.
And
so
traffic is back,
they're within
back,
a certain
right?
radius.
Yes, within a certain radius.
Traffic so that is back.
Yes, it's horrible. So we really make it easy for the bigs to be able to meet with their littles and have fun with them.
Well, Barry, thank you so much for being on.
Thank you.
For all you do as volunteer and Meredith, good luck with your events.
Thank you.
Fabiola, I love your name.
Oh, thank you.
You could say it 100 times.
It is fabulous.
This is Ron Gold from Marketing Works. The name of the show is A Nonprofit Voice, and we're here with Big Brothers and Big Sisters.
The views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of this station, JVC Broadcasting Management, or its sponsors.